Hi, I'm Otto. Welcome to Erin and Sarah's podcast.
We have new mics. The things aren't moving.
Things aren't moving. What do you mean? What things aren't moving?
Not my biggest fear. I have many fears, but a fear is that we record an entire episode and then I find out that I had my mic off the whole time.
Well, if that's your biggest fear, I think
you're pretty good. No, I was correcting myself. It's not my biggest fear. Is it
moving? Let me make sure I'm still on. Hello. Hello. Hello.
I think what's more realistic is that you turn mine off. We've done panels before where my mic's not on. I'm like, oh, Erin,
and I just keep going.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's for the best. Sarah's coming in hot per usual.
Well, I'm very jet lagged. I've been up since.
Oh, did you go somewhere? I believe I went. I went with you.
Yeah, but you went for like a day and a half.
What? That's harder.
I've been gone for 10 days.
Oh, you know what?
No, because you never fully got acclimated.
I'm going to say something right now.
I got acclimated.
You're right.
Thank you.
And this is what I'm going to give you, is that you were there longer than me. And that is the kind of thing that I'd like to give you.
Here's the good news. I don't need it from you. Like, it just is what it is. But right. I've been up since 3:45. Josie woke up at 3:45. She's like, I'm hungry. I want a bagel and an egg. And
you should feed your children.
And I had no food in the house. Mm.
Sounding like a great mom so far.
No food in the house. So I, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that was a fun story. Did you have anything else you want to share? Because you had all this energy and you said, turn my mic on.
And then I came in
and then your mic is on and I'm looking at you and I'm waiting for the big reveal.
Well, I'm just trying to think where we should begin because we were just in Europe together. But I think where I need to begin is that do you ever have this thing? It doesn't happen to me often because I don't watch a lot of TV, but where you get so hooked on a show, mm-hmm. you cannot focus on anything else, do anything else. Like, all I want to do is sit in bed and watch Yellowstone.
Yes, and I love how you're always 3 years late to a trend.
Is it a three-year-old show?
Yeah.
So on the flight—
Well, maybe not 3 years, but I think it's the third season, but I don't think it's three. It's definitely not 3 years.
Okay, so on the flight, on the way home—
Simon and I started watching it, like, pandemic time, maybe? Very good, though. Very good.
The flight on the way home, I was browsing, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing good. I don't want to— None of these movies appeal to me. None of these shows appeal to me. What am I going to do on this flight for 10 hours?
Well, you had all this free time since Valentina was sitting up with me in my seat.
Did you say up with you?
Well, it turns out—
Erin had a different class than us.
Listen, there's a class system on planes, and I was in a different class than you are.
Yeah, you are.
I got upgraded to first, and Sarah was not upgraded. Yeah. And so she was a little further back than I was. Mm-hmm. But I will say I was very generous. I talked to you guys.
You were okay.
I visited you.
You brought us a couple croissants.
I made sure you guys were okay back there. You know, yeah. If the air was a little thicker back there.
Yeah, you brought us one of your spare blankets.
Yeah, I was very generous, I think.
Weren't you sitting next to a celeb?
I was. I got on the plane and I immediately spotted Lisa Vanderpump and Ken.
Was Jiggy there?
I want to say Ken was holding Jiggy, but I don't know. Because I believe that, you know, they're all one person to me. Like, they all just come in a trio. And Simon and I are big Vanderpump fans.
I've never seen Vanderpump, but I do know
great
that
show.
Ken loves—
It's fallen off
loves,
a bit.
Loves a lap dog.
He loves a lap dog. The show has definitely fallen off a bit for us. There's just not
is
the
Ken
same—
Is Ken on Vanderpump?
He is on it, yeah. But there's not the same amount of drama there used to be. I think all those shows are the best in the early years when people are just psychotic and they're not aware of themselves. They're not famous yet. They're not making any money yet. And then when everyone becomes so like aware of themselves and a lot of people have gotten fired off the show too. So it's kind of lost. It's a little boring now because everyone's more mature.
I also don't think any of the housewife people actually have money. I think it's all smoke and mirrors.
Lisa has money.
Really?
She owns a bunch of businesses.
Okay, I know. But I think it's all kind of bullshit. I think—
Well, I'll tell you one thing. She was in first class and you weren't.
The whole—
So she's doing pretty well compared to
good
you.
Good point. But I thought like the whole thing about housewives was like, oh my God, these unattainable lifestyles and lifestyles of the rich and famous. And I feel like—
Yeah, that's a lot of bullshit.
It's all bullshit.
Anyway,
like none of them are actually—
The point is that I've met Lisa several times. A, our stepmom was on The Housewives. Okay? Anyone remember that?
Yes, but we didn't meet her through her.
No, but I mean, I was—
Oh, God, Montana just texted, Jiggy died, FYI.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Montana.
Okay, well, I feel terrible. Okay, well, dogs do die. They do have a shorter shelf life.
Shelf life? I don't think you could say that.
Well, no, but dogs—
Life.
but by the way, these are thoughts that I have when getting Josie a dog. Like, I think about, oh God, they're only around for a certain amount of years, and I don't think she could handle.
I can't believe we just got a text.
Okay,
that Jiggy
well,
died.
Jiggy.
Okay, so I don't believe he was in his hands.
Oh no.
Okay,
but it feels like he had a long life.
Yeah. Okay, what's an appropriate time to continue the story?
Well, you can continue. Okay. It's okay. Dogs
all right.
Die.
R.I.P. Jiggy. That is sad.
Thank you, Montana, that for sad. That.
Thank you, Montana, for always knowing things that we don't know. So we've met Lisa several times. Also, our dad is friends with her. I don't think they were friends before. Mm-hmm. I've had lunch at Villa Blanca.
By the way, Villa Blanca has fantastic pizza.
I know. We all had. Do you remember this? We had dinner. We had lunch there the day before Dad's wedding. To Yolanda, we had like a sister's lunch. We'd never done that before. Me, you, Jordan, Allison, Amy, and Dad. Just his five daughters and him. I don't think we've ever done that at Villa Blanca. So
I don't have any recollection of that, but I will take your word for it.
The point is that our lives have been deeply entrenched in each other's. Okay, maybe mine
more.
In Lisa
Vanderpump's?
Yes.
That's a big statement.
Okay.
It's a bit of an exaggeration.
All right, I'm going to correct myself. Our lives have been lightly entrenched okay. in each other's.
Yeah, did she say hi to you?
That's where I was going next.
Oh.
Is that I was seat, you know, 1J or whatever.
oh, God, you're going to just brag this whole right? episode about how you were. Do you know something? I've never been in first class before.
Okay, listen. She was in like 1D or whatever. We're literally like, I'm in the window side. She's in the center. And she looks at me and my mask is down because I was drinking some tea.
Oh, you pulled the mask down and be like, are we gonna have her a moment?
I kind of wanted her to see who I was.
Right, because you are a huge fan.
No, when you're wearing a mask, it's hard to...
Okay. Be recognized.
I think that there's always an awkward
with my mask up.
Hold on.
Wow.
I think that it is awkward when you run into someone that you do not know if you know each other well enough to say hi or not, and you don't know if you should initiate and you don't know if you should ignore. I've definitely just straight up ignored people a million times, and then it's really scary to initiate.
Are you saying like celeb to celeb?
No,
or are you
people
saying
to
just
people.
Like, oh, people to people.
Just okay. people to people, anybody.
Because this is like such a dilemma that we always hear from celebrities where they're like, what's the appropriate way to handle seeing each other?
No, Sarah.
We don't really know.
You're taking this the wrong way.
I'm just making sure that's not what you're referring
to. No, I'm saying it could be someone that you had a meeting with or someone's husband that you're like, we've met, but do we say hi? Anyway, my mask goes down. Maybe it was because I was drinking tea. Maybe it's because I wanted her to see my face. I can't tell. And she looked me directly in the eye and I said, hi. Like in a way of like, we know each other.
Is this mid-flight?
Like, oh, mid-flight? I was like, no, before we've taken off.
Oh, before you take off.
I kind of did a high like, oh my God, we're on the same flight. You know, like we know each other. Oh. So it was kind of like a very familiar, oh my God, hi. And she looked at me and said, hello. And then she went right back, turned around and sat with Ken and didn't acknowledge
right,
me.
And then she probably said to Ken, fans.
Yeah, full fan. She's fans. Like, oh God, fan and 1J, get me away from her.
Which you are.
But this is not why I was saying hello.
Right, you were saying hi because you've had meals together.
We've spent Christmas Eve together at like Muhammad's house.
We had one Christmas Eve with her.
I'm saying I have a photo.
You know who else was
me?
At that Christmas Eve?
Who?
Brandy Glanville. Yeah.
I want to say Melville, but
we've had an interesting life.
Okay. Anyway, she did not recognize me or know me or acknowledge me. And then Valentina, your daughter,
maybe
came up front at some point and wanted to sit with me. And V got comfortable real quick in first class. Okay. She did not remember that she was not included. Like she was not invited to be there. She was sitting
right, you're
in
actually
my
not
seat.
Allowed to go up to first class
yes.
if you don't have a first class.
She brought
class
her
ticket.
iPad. She's sitting there. She's cackling and laughing.
Like on your lap?
She goes up to the flight attendant on her own and she's like, excuse me, ma'am. I mean, I'm so sorry to bother you. Can I have some tea, please? I'd love like a Earl Grey tea. And can I have a cookie?
Oh, no.
And she starts asking for things. The flight attendant was very, very nice to her. And
she never once said like, you're,
no,
you
I
don't.
Said, I said, you know, I'm sorry. Is that okay? She goes, of course. This is your daughter, right? And I said, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my daughter. She's like, okay, it's fine for her to be here. So, but
by
then,
the way, can we just say props to American? Because guess what? Lufthansa on the way here. And I like Lufthansa. They were very rude. Mm. They were very unkind to Laura, who is our nanny. Mm-hmm. They were not happy with her. She went to bring Josie to me, not in first class, in business. Mm-hmm. And they were very rude. And I have a bone to pick with Lufthansa about that. Outbound was right. Props to American for being nice, because the truth is, they really aren't supposed to be okay with that. I also had a great experience on American.
Yeah.
And I never take American. Nice.
Valentina got too comfortable and she started asking for things.
Okay.
And
how did Lisa handle that?
The woman came over and was like, you know, can I get you anything? And I was like, no, I'm fine. And Valentina was like, I'll take a tea. And can I have some, like, do you like have any snacks or anything like that?
Oh, God.
The woman was like, I could bring you some fruit. And then V's eating the fruit and she needed a water. And then the woman came over and asked me if I wanted a chocolate chip cookie. And I was like, no, thanks. And V goes, look, I'll take one. Yeah. And she said, that's fine. She was very nice. Anyway, Lisa gave a glance over. I think she was not thrilled that there was a 10-year-old. And like
she's 11, but yeah.
Oh, right. An 11-year-old, which I guess that's fair. I mean, maybe I would be annoyed. I can't tell.
You know, it's one of those things where when there's like a crying baby on the flight, like we've all been there. I've been there having crying kids. You don't know what to do. You've been there with me. But when you're not there with the kids, you're a little bit like, dude, what the fuck?
This is a classic example. When you are the person with the crying baby and people give you a look, not you, anybody, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, what am I supposed to do? It's a fucking baby, you monster. Like, this is what children do. And then when you're the person that's not with the kid and the baby cries, you're the one giving the look.
I know. But it's like, it's not right. I mean, as far as I'm, it's really, it's tough because
I've seen you do that before. Like, you'll give a mother a look and you're like, oh my God. I mean,
well, that's different. I'll give a mother a look maybe if she's just like not dealing with it. It's like having a kid on a plane is a full-time job. You can never stop. You have to be prepared. You got to have the crowns. You got to have
crowns?
The snacks, like crowns to like draw.
Crayons?
You've got to, crowns. The fuck? Why are you always
I just, honestly, on this podcast, I've learned that you have like a speaking disability. Like you say things wrong a lot.
I apologize. How shall I say it correctly?
Crayons?
And what did I say?
Crowns.
I've always called them crowns.
Allison, did you catch that? Or is it
I've
just me?
Always called them crowns. All right, we're diverting now. So I just think, you know, I'll give a look if it's like, deal with your kid. You're just sitting there, you know, catching up on Sex in the City while your child is like screaming. Like that is
what
I'll give
a look. And what was the show you were catching up on?
Okay.
Yellowstone?
Yeah, but I gave my kids magnesium gummies.
Joe's, oh my God, you drugged
them. No, you're allowed to do that. You're fully allowed to do that. So I have figured out she is six. It only helps them. I've never done that. I was never the mom that gave Benadryl. I don't give.
There was that one time.
And I learned. We've told that story though, so we don't have to tell it again. We've told the story on the podcast.
God, we really repeat ourselves.
So this time
that
I
was 100% on me though, but you should never take advice from someone who doesn't have kids when they are wanting to drug your child.
Yeah, so a lot of people like do Benadryl. I've never done that. I've never, ever, except for that one time. So anyways, Calm makes like magnesium gummies and they're very helpful.
I actually think a lot of moms will probably want to go get that now.
Yeah, so I gave Josie one and it knocked her out for like 5 hours. So who knew? I mean, she literally, from 1 second of this gummy, she was out.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, and I just gave one. I think you
can
give
like
two.
Check her pulse?
No, she was out. But it was great because Yellowstone.
Yes.
Okay. So V was with you and first, with you and Lisa and Ken, not Jiggy. Oh, and R.I.P. I was like, what am I going to watch here?
Mm-hmm.
So nothing appealed to me. Then I remembered.
I just want to go on record saying, I have no beef with Lisa. And you know what? I don't think you
need to clear it up.
Don't fault her for not remembering me. She knows a lot of people.
In all fairness, you had no makeup on.
I typically have no makeup on. But it's like, I haven't been a big figure in her life. And she's very familiar to me because she's famous and I watch her on a show all the time. And you know what? I think maybe I got a little too familiar too quick.
I love though that you weren't like, hey, we've met. Like that's so, if someone doesn't like first recognize you, move on.
No, and but the irony when I was—
Because you could have been like, we've met, and then she would have been like, oh my God, darling, it's so nice to see you. How's your father?
And I was thinking—
And I love that you
did. In that moment, I was considering doing that.
Oh, I'm so happy you didn't.
And I was just thinking of the irony when like we're always trying to establish ourselves in our own careers and not be associated with our dad. And whenever anybody's like, you know, writes an article, it's like David Foster's daughters, we get so frustrated. Like, this is about our career, our work, or things that we've established on our own. And then I was so ready to say to her,
like, I'm David Foster's daughter. But that's different because that's context.
I was just so fast to like identify myself that way. And I was just thinking like, damn, Aaron, the irony that you're really ready to jump to that when it works in your favor. But when you're like, you know, trying to get work credibility, you get mad at people for making that
I don't think that we're so proud of our parents. We're proud of them. It's not that. It's more just like, you know,
You don't want to be identified solely.
Well, it's not that. No, I'm happy. I love nothing, by the way. Nothing makes me, I'm so proud when people say to me like, oh my God, your dad is amazing. Your dad's a legend. Your mom's the most wonderful woman I've ever met. I'm proud of that. I think for us, we're just a little bit like, we aren't in the music business. We have such a different career path. The correlation doesn't really make sense to us.
I wouldn't rule out the music business for us at some point.
I think that ship has sailed.
Oh, okay.
The World's First podcast is supported by First Republic Bank. With the best-in-class banking app that allows you to bank anywhere, anytime, and a dedicated personal banker when you need one-on-one service, First Republic is uniquely positioned to offer the best of both worlds.
With this combination of personal attention and convenience, it's no wonder that First Republic Bank has a client satisfactory rating 2 times the industry average. So whether you're opening a personal line of credit or planning for your retirement, you can count on First Republic to be there for you every step of the way.
Visit firstrepublic.com today to learn more. That's firstrepublic.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sakara is everywhere right now. I also have been seeing Sakara a lot on Not Skinny But Not Fat's Instagram.
Everybody is posting
Sakara. It's very simple, you guys. Sakara, it's very hard to eat clean, healthy food, and it takes a long time to cook, and it makes a mess. So for me, I love to use Sakara. Their food is clean. It is plant-based. It is plant-rich. It is ready-to-eat meals. They're very nourishing. They have whole organic ingredients that retrain your palate, help you break your sweet tooth. That really helps. They're amazing flavors. They always, what I love about it, and I know I've said this before, but they always highlight an ingredient that's in there and tell you why that ingredient is really important for you to have in your life. And I just really love their food. Really
I think
amazing.
Resets look different for everybody. Like for me, a really great reset is just healthier food. That's a great thing going into the new year. You don't need to like go on a crazy diet or a crazy cleanse. Mm-hmm. Like Sakara is a great reset alternative to just
eat cleaner.
Eat cleaner.
You really need to be eating real ingredients. If you're eating
and you notice
food,
a difference quick.
If you're eating food that has preservatives, if you're eating food that has ingredients you can't pronounce on the back of it, that is a problem. Like just think about it. Your body doesn't know how to digest these things.
Yeah.
It's the reason why people feel so bad all the time, feel so sick, and are so sensitive to foods is because of all the crap that's in them. You're not sensitive to the actual food. You're sensitive to all the preservatives and all the chemicals and shit that they put in there because it's like your stomach's not used to it.
But
so,
everybody's talking about Sakara. Yeah. Go, Goop, New York Times.
So they are chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners. They are backed by cutting-edge nutrition science. They boost your health and stoke your glow, and it is delivered fresh to your door anywhere in the U.S. It's really worth it. You should really try it. So right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to sakara.com/foster or enter the code FOSTER at checkout. That is Sakara, sakara.com/foster to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/foster.
So let me just get to Yellowstone. Okay. So I don't know how I'm so late to this. I found it on the plane. I was like, ugh, okay, there's nothing here. I guess I'll try this because I feel like I had heard you talk about it. Mm-hmm. I was fucking captivated 30 seconds in.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing show.
Holy.
It does get pretty violent.
It is so perfectly cast that.
Let's just be really clear. There are so many hot guys in this show.
Well, okay.
Cole Hauser, hot.
Cole Hauser has been around forever. This is a huge resurgence.
But do you
for
remember
him
from Good Will Hunting?
I remember him from everything, but I remember him from like the club. You know who he's married to? Because I did a deep dive on him last night. Hmm. He is married to, remember the twins that the Sweet Valley twins?
Yes.
Brittany and.
Like a Chrissy?
Something. He is married to one of them.
Come on.
Adorable girls. They were actresses, or maybe one of them was an actress.
What?
What? I think he's with her for like 100 years. He's so brilliant in this show. He is such a, I'm so happy for people that have been around forever. And he's had success, but this is like, I think it's like Emmy, yeah. Emmy worthy.
They may have won
Kevin Costner's also Emmy.
He's
everyone on the show is
it.
Emmy. By the way, Wes Bentley. Incredible.
So good.
He's so
oh,
good.
God, his character's heartbreaking.
I feel for him so much.
His character is heartbreaking.
His character.
It only gets harder, Sarah. It's going to
well,
get.
Well, I'm halfway through season two.
It's going to get tough for you. Oh, interesting.
Oh, I've binged. I've binged hard.
Okay. I was just trying to remember what the.
Well,
like,
I watched the entire first season on the flight.
Yeah.
So that was like.
No, I was
episodes.
Just trying to remember a specific moment that if you've seen it or not. Yet.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about
it. I won't
I don't
bring
want
it up.
Anything ruined. But I'm blown away. This Luke Grimes kid.
Should you acknowledge that you auditioned to play the daughter?
Okay. Well,
I'm not trying to blow up your spot. I'm just
I did.
Full context.
Yeah.
Did you get close to getting the role?
I don't. It's a little blurry for me. John Papsidera is the casting director.
Love him.
Love him. It's a little blurry for me as to how far I got, right. If I did.
So many auditions, so few roles.
So many auditions, so few roles actually booked. Mm-hmm. But thank God. I mean, she's brilliant, this girl. Mm-hmm. Who, where'd good. She come from?
I don't know.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. They're all amazing. Kevin Costner, is he nominated for an Emmy? Because he should be.
I wonder if he is.
Family so friend. Good. Used to travel with him. Do you remember?
By the way, I'd be in the same situation with him if I was on first class with him.
Well, that is part is different because we went on vacations with him when we were little kids. And yeah. By little kids, I mean like 9 years old.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't remember me from that.
All right. Just lastly, Luke Grimes. Like, remember Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt era style?
Tristan.
Luke Grimes' character is the Brad Pitt of Legends of the Fall. He is.
So hot. I looked him up on Instagram when I was first watching it, and I couldn't find him anywhere because he's so cool that he's, I don't think, been on
Instagram. You know whose spot he should take over in Hollywood? Who is the guy, huge star, but I can't think of his name right now. He's married to Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter.
Chris Pratt.
He should be...
The new Chris Pratt.
And no disrespect to Chris Pratt. He should stay. But Luke Grimes should be the new Chris Pratt.
Sure, I guess. But I really hate it when like really cool kind of... like gritty, real actors become, they always get like a Marvel movie and you're just like, they get the big payday and then they just become like everybody else.
Well, that's not true. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Jennifer Lawrence is like in Marvel movies. Oh, you want like a Leo. Like Leo's never done a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying like it's so boring to me when they do Marvel movies.
No, that's your opinion. I want Luke Grimes to be making 30 mil a picture. He deserves it. That's what I want for him.
A lot of money.
Should we have him on the podcast?
I do not think he'd come on the podcast.
How do we get to him?
Well, I look for
anyone knows Luke Grimes.
Well, what do you want to do if somebody gets it? Someone says, that's my cousin. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to say, let's talk to him.
I don't think he wants to come on this podcast.
Okay.
Not his vibe.
You're right.
However, I'd love to set him up with someone.
Yes.
Actually, I disagree.
He probably has
nobody should date an actor. Terrible, terrible, terrible people to set up with.
I was just about to say, I would be single forever. Like if I was single and my options were actor or celibacy, I think I'd go celibacy.
Oh.
It's really hard dating an actor.
Yeah. Actors are not for moi. I mean, they used to be.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, that's like all you dated and all I dated too, by the way. I only dated actors.
Terrible people to date. And you know what? I would love for the Justice for Actors Association to come after us for this.
Justice of Actors.
Let me tell you something, actors. You are not fun to date because let me tell you something. Male actors, well, I mean, actresses are also annoying, but actresses are just women and women are just complicated. But male actors are like women. Mm-hmm. It's like they're very vain and they're all
not
like,
all. You
they're
can all about. Luke Grimes is not vain.
I mean, maybe not, but not fun to date.
Okay.
Or marry. My personal opinion, again, this is not a professional opinion.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is your...
It's only my... And you know what? Maybe I'm projecting because I've dated a bunch of actors.
You feel... This feels personal for you.
You know what? I guess I am working on some emotional stuff right now.
It's okay.
I'm working through my old days of dating actors where they always needed to be the center of attention and they were vain and they would ask to use my concealer. And maybe I'm triggered by that.
I think... Yeah.
Maybe I am triggered by that because I just can't see Simon wanting to use my concealer. I can imagine Simon, if I said, Simon, you have a zit, he would say,
Cool.
It
is more of a feminine.
He'd be like, great, I'll grow my beard out longer. And
it
cover
is
it
more
up.
Of a feminine.
You're looking at Instagram while I'm speaking.
Well, because I'm just seeing if this thing is uploading. Oh my God, how cute is Jen Garner? Did she get a haircut? Look how cute she is.
You know what this is going to be called? The Hollywood episode. I just feel it. It is so Hollywood.
Really?
Yep. And I feel shame, just to be honest.
Why?
I don't know. I want to be deeper than that.
Listen, we've had some pretty deep episodes. Sometimes you got to just like zone out and listen to just...
Yeah, but the pointless episode last time was pretty light.
Yeah, but I actually think that we went to a deeper level in that one.
I just want to give a shout out to my friend Sophia, because she's a really loyal listener. And every time a new episode comes out, she is like the first one to listen.
I think we are two... most loyal listeners of our friends.
Jen Meyer?
Nope.
Oh.
Greg Berlanti.
What a dream.
He is the most loyal listener. The messages he really listens and pays attention. I would say him.
You guys might know him for being like the most successful writer in LA.
I think he has more TV shows on the air than anyone.
Definitely more than me.
Definitely more than you.
Definitely more
than me. So him on my side and Sophia on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very loyal listeners.
Even though you were friends with Greg first, but I stole him.
I was definitely...
Well, you worked with him.
Working with him is a very loose term. I technically wrote a show for Greg Berlanti.
Mm-hmm. Great. Oh my God.
However,
this show needs to come back.
I agree.
Hold on. I have to just say, Aaron wrote a show called The Way We Weren't. I came up with the title.
True.
With Berlanti. It is...
It's about a girl.
If someone doesn't make this, you're just stupid.
It's about a girl who's like 28 years old and she works retail and she doesn't have... Like, she's not living up to her potential. She's not, like, living her dream. And she has a boyfriend, and he's black. And she basically thinks, like, the most interesting thing about her is having a black boyfriend. And so she uses that as a way to, like, be relevant in the world. And her boyfriend has this sports TV show where he basically, like, he has a show on ESPN where he, like, takes athletes and gets manicures with them or like does like a weird activity with them and like gets to know them in a different sense and like puts them out of their comfort zone. And it's a popular show and her whole life basically hinges on him mm-hmm. and his life. Mm-hmm. And they're in the process of moving in together and he comes out to her that he's actually gay. And now she has to figure out how to get her life together and
be
friends with him.
She still wants to be together.
She wants to stay together because she has no other options. It's honestly, it was a great show.
The script is better than your pitch.
Oh, I thought it was a fun pitch. Allison looks interested.
Yeah, no, pitch wasn't great, but the script is really good.
Well, I wrote the show for Greg Berlanti, but never actually met him in the process.
Oh, God.
And then the show didn't, it got made by, well, sorry, the script got written with Warner Brothers and then we wrote it for Fox and then Fox did not make the show. And it's still sitting around somewhere. Mm-hmm.
So should we talk quickly about our trip?
Yes. We are international world travelers.
We are international world travelers.
I actually forgot to come home with an accent.
I went and saw my horse, which was great. Had a great time in Germany. It was just a night. It's nice to go to Germany and just disconnect.
Oh.
Yeah. You good?
Sorry, I just have another person coming. Oren's here for the jewelry.
Jesus.
Jordan just texted me that.
It's like a revolving door of your people.
Well, I'm sorry that for our trip to London, I've been responsible for your wardrobe, your shoes, and your jewelry. So I brought your dresses home. They got picked up yesterday. I have the jewelry you wore. I counted it all to make sure it was there. Mm-hmm. I'm now handing it off to the jeweler.
Wow. Okay, so this is the Hollywood episode.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is the Hollywood episode.
Should I go take it a step further and go even more Hollywood?
I don't know if you should. I'm not ready.
I went to a Hollywood facialist in London. I've been really wanting to meet this woman. She is a facialist to the stars. And it's very hard to get into her.
I heard you name dropped a little bit after that.
It's very hard to get into her.
Because Sarah looked crazy after her.
You guys, I walked out and Josie saw me and started hysterically crying. Mm-hmm. Like hysterically crying.
She was really scared.
I did.
She thought you were going to die.
She thought I was going to die.
She kept saying, is mom going to die?
Yeah. Well, I looked fucking crazy. But I did a very intense microneedle. Mm-hmm. And I've done like little bitchy microneedle.
What is bitchy microneedling?
Like, you know, like chill microneedle. I think you're
using that term wrong. It makes no sense the way you just used it. Bitchy microneedling. I don't think that.
Yeah, halfway through saying it, I thought this doesn't feel right.
Take me through your mind thought process when you
like,
got
okay,
to bitchy.
My thought process was to be like, well, I was like a little bitch with the other ones, like little bitchy ones, like that don't really hurt. You know, ones that don't really hurt, and you're like, oh, don't go so deep.
Oh, okay. I see how you got there.
But so Jasmine, just maybe how you say it, Yasmin. Mm-hmm. Jasmine was like, no, we got to like really do this. Like, let's go for it. I was so red and scabby. I still am a little bit scabby, but
it actually looks fine now.
It really does. But Josie was really scared. It really does turn over your cells, and it's like a natural way of your body.
Sorry, I just really get glazed over when you start deep diving into skincare. Remember how you're going to do your skincare question podcast?
Yeah, people, by the way, have messaged me they would listen to that.
You should do, but you got to keep those categories separate: equestrian, conversation, and skincare. You got to do it separate on your little like niche OnlyFans account.
I don't have an OnlyFans. Should we have OnlyFans? Wait, is OnlyFans new? It's like naked, right?
Yeah, it's sexual. You could do well in there though. I mean, you posted like a crotch shot from London that I was confused by.
And then you shamed me. It wasn't a crotch shot. I was like, all anyone cared about was what fucking boots I was wearing. I got maybe like 1,000 DMs asking about these boots. So
Well, a couple of Simon's friends brought it up to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd they say? Like, is she okay?
Just that there was a major crotch shot, you know, from London. And
why didn't he tell me that? He normally tells me when things are said.
I don't know, but I'm sure, I think a couple of people like screenshot it, so.
Well, I deleted it pretty quickly after posting it since you made me feel bad about
it. Well, I saw it online and I was like worried that you were going through something. I was like, what's going on with Sarah that she's posting like a crotch shot?
You couldn't see my crotch. A crotch shot is when you can see a crotch.
No, but you're in tights in a mini skirt with your foot on the counter.
To show the boots.
With your foot on the counter and like photographing straight across into a mirror. I was like, oh God, Sarah's going through something. We don't realize how wasteful toothpaste is and how much plastic is used in it and how much crap is in the toothpaste that we use. And so Bite is a really interesting, very cool company. It seems a little bit weird at first, but you basically have these like little tablets that you chew and you put like water on your toothbrush and it becomes foamy like a toothpaste. It is sustainable. They are reducing plastic waste.
By the way, the toothpaste is made with clean ingredients. Which,
of course,
that is not easy to find.
You don't realize that you can't just focus on all the big things that you're ingesting. You have to also focus on the things that you do twice a day that you're putting like crap into your body. So the little tablets, they come in reusable glass jars and the refills come in these compostable pouches, which is very cool. And you just literally pop one in your mouth, you bite down, and then you brush with water and it foams up and it's just, I don't know. It's a really interesting kind of weird experience.
By the way, fantastic to take with you on a flight. You know, when you're flying and you're like, you can't bring a thing of toothpaste on. I don't think you're even allowed. It's such a great thing to be able to just throw in your mouth.
Exactly. They use no harsh chemicals, no sulfites, no artificial dyes or flavors.
This is the future.
It really is the future. It's cruelty free. It's vegan. They don't use any palm oil. It's carbon neutral. I just think
it's the future.
It's interesting. You should try it. Yes. Bite is offering our listeners 20% off your first subscription order. So go to trybite.com/foster or use the code foster at checkout to claim the deal. That is trybite.com/foster.
By the way, great stocking stuffer. It's just a cute little stocking stuffer. I love this.
I agree. Okay, so if you don't feel good, if you feel bloated, if you feel like you have indigestion or you have low energy or your stomach feels acidic, anything, the most simple change you could make in your life is to get Athletic Greens and basically start your day with a scoop of AG1. It contains
one scoop.
It's literally one scoop. You put it in water. If you don't want to change anything else about your daily routine or your diet or your lifestyle, but you want to feel better, this would be the thing to do.
Yep, first thing in the morning.
It contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more, all in one daily serving of a scoop. So you just put the scoop in water and then go back to all your bad habits.
This one scoop really replaces all the, you know, I don't know about you, but I hate taking vitamins. It's just annoying. I've really tried to move more towards like the liquid option. This is just easier on your stomach. It is everything you could possibly need all packed into one scoop.
It helps you support energy and focus. It aids with your gut health and digestion. It also supports a healthy immune system. And it effectively replaces all the multiple products of pills in one healthy
drink. If you are looking for new ways to just be more mindful of your health and nourishing your body with the things it needs, this is a great way to start.
It's only 1 gram of added sugar. There's no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, artificial anything. Tastes delicious.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/foster today. Again, simply just visit athleticgreens.com/foster and give AG1 a try.
To take control of your health and give AG1 a try. You're really not good at the call to action.
No,
That's your department. Well, we gave you one shot and
I failed.
You failed.
I failed everybody.
But we went to London to shoot a Rakuten commercial. Okay, Rakuten. I got to be honest, and technically they are paying me, but they're not paying me to do this.
You definitely don't have to talk about Rakuten on the podcast.
I know I don't, but I will say that I've been really shocked when I posted about it. So many
didn't
people,
know about it.
No, opposite. Oh. So many people that I know wrote me back saying, yeah, "Hello, duh. I use Rakuten, and it is so smart." So it's basically like
it's too good to be true, but it's real.
So you can put a plug-in into your browser. anytime you're shopping online for literally anything, if you're about to buy it, it'll come up kind of like that thing, Honey. It'll come up and say, if you buy this on Rakuten, you'll get cash back. Any single thing you buy it for the exact same price you would buy it anywhere else, but they give you money. You just get a check in the mail for like $70 here or like $85
there. It's almost like, why would anybody not money. Use it? By the way, favorite daughter's on Rakuten.
It's just so smart.
This is not an ad. We don't have to be talking about this.
Not an ad, but we did shoot
But we truly are.
I do believe that we will be very minimally in this commercial, and I'm okay with that.
We might not be in it at all, but that's okay.
We could get fully cut out, but yeah. I think it was worth it for a trip to London.
I do too. It was a fantastic trip. We loved working with them. I wish we could say who we were working with, but we can't.
Yeah, they were very secretive about who we were working
with. They
were
very secretive about it. Okay. Anything else we should cover? London was amazing. We were doing a Rakuten commercial. We'll probably be cut out.
We watched Tommy play tennis at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, it's so cool watching tennis in a venue like that, even though it's the last year. And they'll never play tennis again at the Royal Albert Hall. It's pretty sad.
Also, just to circle back really quickly, when I posted the photo that I was sitting near Lisa Vanderpump and she didn't remember me, I looked at my DMs and a girl wrote me and said, if it makes you feel any better, I'm a few rows back from you and I recognize you. And I was like, honestly, thank you. It does make me feel better.
That is really, really funny. Okay, so should we get to some questions? How long have we been recording? Oh, 37 minutes. Jesus.
That's okay, Sarah. That is okay.
I'm going to just start from the top. I haven't looked at any of these. Hi, Sarah and Aaron. Obsessed with the podcast. I've been with my boyfriend 5 years, and we always separate for the holidays because we're both too stubborn to miss our own family celebrations. Mm-hmm. How do we fix that? How do you decide how to split time between families for the holidays? I will let you take this one. Since you deal with that more than I do, I'm in a little bit easier of a situation because Germany is just so far. So Tommy is a little cooler about, like, it's just not easy to go to Germany. It's expensive. It's all the things. Your family, Simon's family, is 45 minutes away, so it's a little different. But I will say that I think that if it is really important to both parties, you rotate. 1 year on, 1 year off. That is like the only way to fairly do it. Like 1 year you're with this family for Thanksgiving, the other family for Christmas, and then the next year you reverse it. I think that's a pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't give great advice on this because
it's a button for you.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. You know, my dream was always to marry an orphan.
Yes, it's true.
Because it would make my life so much easier. Because then we would just do things my way.
And well, you're also like obsessed with your family and being with your family, and not everyone is. Well, I guess this girl is.
There's a reason why they say that marriage is all about sacrifice, because you constantly find these are exactly the kinds of things
that I want people.
Yeah,
marriage is all about sacrifice.
Yeah, you're constantly having to meet in the middle about things, and so. These are the type of things when people say marriage is hard, marriage is tough, marriage is complicated. These are the things that come up all the time. They're exactly issues like this. And by the way, these are good problems to have because there are like there are the deal breaker issues that are like cheating, lying, deceit, like, you know, abuse. All these horrible things.
But if your biggest issue is navigating the holidays.
This is exactly what you should be disagreeing about when you're married. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff that's hard, is like creating a life with someone and you both have two different ways of doing things and you don't really want to be with somebody else's family on the holidays. And this has been really challenging for Simon and I. The first Thanksgiving that we ever had as a couple, Simon kept saying, I really wish you'd come to San Francisco for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, but I have my own family. And we were, during Thanksgiving, he kept texting me being like, I'm just really sad you're not here. I just don't understand why you didn't come. I'm like, I have my own family and we have Thanksgiving too. So we've had this like standoff for a pretty long time, really our whole relationship, where we both really like to have our family be the, you know, the core family. And we've tried to rotate it. And so I think that you are right in that you have to find ways.
Got to create a system.
You have to create a system and you have to create a routine. And you also creating like a neutral house can be good.
How do you create a neutral house?
Like you try to create a house that is, for instance, we've done 2 Thanksgivings at your house, Sarah.
Where is that
Simon's,
neutral?
No, it's not. Where Simon's brother's wife, Masha, my sister-in-law, she does her Thanksgiving at her sister-in-law's sister's house. Like, that's removed for her.
But what's the point?
The point is that, like, it's very forgiving that she's willing to do that.
Oh.
Right? Like that's
well, we
not
only do it at my house.
Ideal. Your house is much bigger than mine.
Well, it's not much bigger, but it's a little
central
bigger.
Central in LA.
Yeah.
But it's just a really challenging thing. And I think that this is something you do have to create a system, and you have to say, what are the more important holidays to us? Is Thanksgiving or Christmas more important to you? So then we can do Thanksgiving with your family and then do Christmas with mine. And then you swap the next year and you do it differently. And I'm a little lucky in that Simon's family doesn't celebrate Christmas, celebrate Hanukkah. So I don't have to fight over that specific day. Mm-hmm. But Simon's also like really triggered by Christmas, mm-hmm. you know? And so he won't let me have a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I mean, the man is a monster.
That's going to be complicated when you have kids.
He's a Jewish monster.
Do Levi and Micah and Misha get a Christmas tree?
Hell no.
Oh my God. Okay. So what did we, I think system. I think it should be.
Trade-offs.
So I think let's say next year you're with your family for Thanksgiving, his family for Christmas. And then the following year you're with his family for Thanksgiving and your family for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, well, by the way, maybe they don't.
But also yeah, can we put those it. Hands together? And what if the families all get along? Like I know that for us, I mean, our goal.
Most families don't all live in the same city.
No, but people travel for the holidays. Simon and I's dream and goal is to be in a house that's big enough where we can actually have all of his family and all of my family. We can kind of host everybody together.
I think that's most people's goal. Most people, whenever you hear people talking about like, I just want a house with a table big enough for friends and family. That's pretty much what everybody wants. No one wants a big house to just sit there by themselves in
well,
it.
Some people don't want to spend the holidays with their families though.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you can find an orphan, that's more ideal.
No, that is not terrible advice.
Oh, okay.
Okay, next one. You want to read it?
Sure. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months. It is the first relationship I've ever had now that I'm 30, where I feel like it's a true partnership. He is not controlling, jealous. He's very communicative. However, the other day he made a comment how it made him feel uncomfortable that I still sleep in the same bed as my best male gay friend of 10 years when we go on trips together or he spends the night with me when he visits LA. It was always our thing when we were single and part of our dynamic as best friends. I want to respect my boyfriend's feelings around this but find it super irrational. He said sleeping together is intimate no matter if there's a hookup potential or not. Thoughts?
Oh boy, I think it's tough because I think too, like we're living in such a fluid world now that I think people's insecurities have sort of changed maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that a fair thing to say? I think it's not what it used to be. I think 10 years ago, it was like, oh, he's gay. Like, there's nothing that could mm-hmm. happen. But now it's kind of like, you know, it's just...
Everyone's a threat.
Everyone is a threat, you know? I mean, look, the truth is if... I don't know. I do think sleeping with someone is intimate. I don't like to sleep with people. Like, I think
just
that it is intimate.
Just trying to think, like, Simon's really traditional, old-fashioned, but I don't think he...
How would he feel about you and Charles sleeping in
I was just going to think that. He wouldn't care. I don't think he'd care. I mean, I guess if Charles and I were spooning, he'd care, but we wouldn't spoon. I do think that it's a really tough one because what happens a lot in relationships is the other person's bothered by something. You don't understand why they're bothered by it. And you have to decide, like, is this the hill I want to die on? Am I so obsessed with sleeping in bed with my gay best friend that I'm willing to make my partner really uncomfortable? And he has to decide, like, is this the hill he wants to die on? Is he willing to, like, make you change that behavior that's perfectly innocent to you because he's uncomfortable? Like, I do think that he kind of has to look at his shit a little bit because I don't think he should be bothered by that. But we can't really decide what people should or shouldn't be bothered by because everyone has different triggers.
Clearly I feel too, like things that bother you when you're just dating don't bother you when you're married. And like,
I disagree.
Really?
For me and Simon, all this, the issues.
I feel like guys are insecure when they're dating. The things that bother guys when you're dating, once you're married, I feel like they become a little bit more secure and a little bit more forgiving of.
I think that's a myth. Or maybe it's different in every relationship, but I think it's a myth that you actually feel.
Well, we can't generalize
like your
relationships.
Your triggers are different after you have a piece of paper.
Also, so awkward then. What does she have to do? She has to go to her gay best friend and be like, hey, so I can't go on that trip unless we can get two rooms. Then it's so awkward.
I agree.
I wonder if the guy, what if the three of them had a really honest conversation?
Love that idea.
Like, aren't we living in a world now where it's like, put it all out on the table. You've been together now for six months isn't that long. But what if the three of them, if they're best friends, the gay best friends around, what if... It would take such
it would just take the air out of the room mm-hmm. for the boyfriend to be like, guys, I just have to be really honest with you.
I feel weird about this.
I feel weird about this. I know I shouldn't, but and it makes me feel awkward.
Yes, and he could feel better afterwards. Because then the gay friend could be like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I would never disrespect your relationship like that. I'm so happy you guys are together and like we can figure something else out. Or and maybe
like if it makes you feel better, like I'll sleep on the floor. I'll make a bed on the thing. Like I do think and communication is key. And then all of a sudden the boyfriend goes,
no, that's extreme. You can still do it.
Mm-hmm. So I think what she should do is say to her boyfriend, you are my priority. Like, I see this going the distance with you. Like, you are so not controlling. You're not jealous. You're such a good communicator. All the things that she says about him. Sounds like he's a rational guy. Would you ever be okay us just having this conversation, because it is awkward for me to now go tell my best friend mm-hmm. and it also puts you two in a bad situation.
I was going to say, because she probably doesn't want the gay best friend to hate him and feel weird around him. So I think maybe one big conversation could bring them all closer and then they decide what the best thing is to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would love to hear back after this couple has had the conversation mm-hmm. with the friend if they're willing to do that. Yeah, I really like that idea. Please keep anonymous, but my husband always asks if I know where his XYZ thing is. It makes me feel like I have to stop what I'm doing and help him find where he puts some random belongings, which is often very near in sight, by the way, and he just doesn't make the effort to find it himself before burdening me with it. When I told him this irks me, he thinks it's unreasonable and it's led to a few little, okay, big tiffs. Thoughts, am I crazy? Again, this is fucking marriage. This is so
I was just
marriage.
About to say, is this the hill you want to die on, to your point? Like, who gives a shit? Guys are just a little bit, they're a little bit all over the place. They're a little bit forgetful. Like, I sort of think, I always find it sort of endearing when, like, Tommy's like, hey, have you seen my thing? Have you seen this? It's like, who gives a shit? If you know where it is, just say it's right there. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not something that should be
they're little things,
like,
but
an issue within the relationship. If it's like,
I always would see husbands who would be like, I don't even know how to get dressed unless my wife like tells me what to wear. And that was always my dream, is to have a guy that's like really dependent on me. That's like, I don't know how to live anymore without my wife.
Well,
telling
that's because
me.
If he's dependent on you, he won't, in your mind, he won't leave you because he won't be able to live without you.
But I've always thought it's cute when a guy is willing to kind of like lean on his wife for things. But I will say, back to the lemon water gate, between Simon and I, Simon always really wanted me to make him his lemon water in the morning. And he would get really annoyed with me and feel like really rejected when I wouldn't make him his lemon water. And I would be busy and running around and have my own day. And I'd be like, I can't stop and make you your lemon water. Like, you're an adult. You can make your own lemon water. And I realized that it was significant to him and it was significant to me. And it seemed small, but it felt big.
Mm-hmm.
For him, me making the lemon water meant like I'm taking care of him and that he has like a wife that, you know, looks out for him. And for me, it felt like it was dismissive of how I actually am not like a housewife. I like have a job and I get up and I'm busy and I have work and like I can't slow down to be a housewife for you at 8 a.m. getting your lemon water ready when like I'm busy. And so we've talked about it 100 times in therapy and realized that the lemon water represented something for both of us. Mm. I think it's probably the same thing here. He's leaning on you for things because he, you know, sometimes guys turn their girlfriends into their moms and he's looking for you to like, you know, mom him a little bit. And that might be triggering for you because you've got your own set of mom issues and you don't want to be treated like a mom. You don't want to have to take care of him and tell him where all of his stuff is. You want him to be an adult.
I guess it would be annoying if you're just sitting there trying to catch up on Yellowstone and your husband's like, where are my keys? And then you have to get up and go look for the keys. Like, that's bullshit.
And if they're just kind of always, it's like, for instance, you with your kids, when Josie says, where's my backpack? And you're like, I don't know, Josie, look up. It's right there, right? Like you feel like they're being a child. If your husband or boyfriend is acting like a child and like can't look for their own things and want you to do it for them, I understand that that would be annoying too.
They say with your kids, you're not supposed to do anything for them that they can't do for themselves. So I
guess. That they can do for themselves?
They can do that for themselves. So I guess.
Okay.
I don't think we helped this person.
No, I do. I think that you need to get to the bottom of why he leans on you for things that he clearly can figure out for himself and figure out and explain to him why it pushes your buttons. I really have learned in my marriage that if you can have the conversation about what it is meaning to you and why it's such a trigger and why it's making you argue, it's a lot easier to solve things when you understand where the person's coming from. He's leaning on you for a reason and you're bothered by it for a reason. Get to the root of the problem.
We'll always get to the root of the problem.
Also, a faster fix is that Apple makes those new tag things, and you could just put a tag on everything that he owns, and then instead of asking
an Apple tag?
They have these new like tags that you put on everything.
What's a tag?
It's like a little disc thing, and then it helps you find everything.
No way.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can put it in your suitcase when you land at the airport. You can where your suitcase is. You're like, shit, my suitcase.
I've never heard of this. Where do you buy all this?
I believe it's on Apple. I'm sure that they're having a cyber
amazing
Tuesday or something.
Wait, that's amazing. I've never heard of that. That's genius. So you put it on your phone, I'm sure.
Oh, AirTag. Montana just sent us the link. Yeah, the AirTags from Apple. So,
by the way, so you put in your keys, your suitcase.
Simon has it on his keys. So if you don't want to have this conversation with him, then just get him a bunch of AirTags.
I literally was on Instagram this morning, scrolling, and all of a sudden this thing comes up, and I'm like instantly just like transported into this world. And what was it?
Jenny Kane's World.
Jenny Kane's World. She just opened a store in Boston. The way that her stuff all just looks together, it is like the most peaceful, tranquil, inviting aesthetic ever that she has created.
Perfect for the holidays.
Perfect for the holidays. From her pillows, her throws, the alpaca soft cashmere.
The cashmere blankets are so good.
She has pieces that last forever, whether it's new pillows, mm-hmm. whether it is a throw. It's
amazing coffee tables.
Candles.
Everything is very cozy.
Very cozy.
Very warm, very homey.
Mm-hmm.
You really
her tabletop for the holidays. Her tabletop mm-hmm. is so beautiful. Yeah,
the dinnerware and the serveware is great. By the way, those pieces start at $25, so it's not like crazy.
No, it's not crazy. Oh, by the way, refreshing your bathroom. Like little things, like your little powder room.
It's all very natural textures. Very yeah. good neutrals. It's all like California-inspired classics, and it's just great stuff. So find your forever pieces at jennykane.com. Get 15% off your first order when you use the code FOSTER at checkout. That is 15% off your first order at jennykane.com. That is JennyKayne.com, promo code FOSTER.
I am so into this next company.
You've been using it all over?
I use it as in like every room, basically, in the house.
Oh, yeah, because you have a smelly house.
I do not. No, but I have kids. So it's in mm-hmm. all bathrooms.
Your kids stink.
It's in the pantry. It's in the shoe closet. Azuna Fresh. It's a natural odor eliminator.
It is antimicrobial. So it is plant-based odor eliminator that does not just mask the odor. It actually eliminates the odor.
Right. It cleans the air of bacteria. Mm-hmm. That's what it does.
Exactly.
And they're really unassuming. They're not ugly. They're simple. They're clean looking.
Also, scents are not like so strong that all of a sudden it takes over the house.
Yeah, no. They're so, you put them like, you can hide mild. Them too. Put them on the floor. Put them behind the toilet. Mild. They're fantastic.
They also have all natural sprays that come in handy for like spot treatments.
Yeah. No, that's a very cool company.
Yeah, really, really like this one. So we are telling you Azuna Fresh is the odor eliminator that you didn't know you needed. Right now, we have a great deal for our listeners, 20% off your purchase. Go to azunafresh.com today and use the promo code FOSTER for 20% off. Do not miss out. The promo code is FOSTER at azunafresh.com. Let's play a voicemail.
Hi, guys. I don't want to say, I'll say my name. My name's Jill. And I, first of all, have been listening to you guys since the podcast came out, and I'm just such a huge fan. You guys have helped me through a lot of different situations that I'm going through right now in my early 30s, and we'll probably go through for the rest of my life. But anyways, I just recently moved back home with my parents for financial reasons, planning to move out soon. My sister still lives in LA. We used to live together. And we don't anymore. Totally fine. We need to grow. We need our own space. Still best friends. She is, trying to make ends meet out there. It is expensive. I'm out here. I live with my parents and love them dearly. My mom and dad have done so much for me over the years. Yada, yada. They're wonderful. The problem I'm having is my mom is constantly worrying all the time. She's an anxious person like me. I've been to therapy. My sister's been to therapy. But she's kind of just spiraling at this point about my sister, about me. It's very micromanaging. I know she means well. How do I guess, navigate that situation. I don't want our relationship to be ruined in any way. So I just really, we're all so close, we're almost too close. So I want to figure out how to make this work and how to make healthy boundary decisions. You probably need to know more, and this message can't really go on forever, but basically, how do I get her into therapy? She always tells me to go, but she doesn't go herself, and I think it would be a huge help. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up. I don't have all day. I could talk and talk forever, but thank you guys so much for everything that you're doing, and keep up the good work. Love you guys. Bye.
So sweet.
What
I love Jill.
Sweet message. How did she say how old she was?
Early 30s.
Early 30s. Oh, I feel for her. That's a tough thing. And going home to live with your parents, I love that's a hard thing to do. And I love that she clearly asked for help, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a hard thing to do. Like, hey, I'm having a hard time. Like I'm going to go back home and while I'm figuring it out, like stay with you guys, and that they're open to that. Look, being a mom is, we worry about our freaking kids. And I'm sure her mom is worried. She's in her early 30s. She's back home with them. She's just trying to do the best she can. I think we realize as we get older, our parents are human. Mm-hmm. And that is not an easy thing to realize. But what if she, for Christmas, got her like a Shrink Chicks?
Be a bit of a passive-aggressive Christmas present.
I was just to say, that's a really horrifying.
But what I do think that, clearly Jill knows the answer, which is that this is her mom's issue and her mom needs to be in therapy, not because there's something wrong with her, but because she needs an outside person to explain to her that, you know, we really can transfer our energy onto our kids, and we can transfer our anxieties and transfer our tendency to worry and transfer our stress, and it's not helpful. And so my therapist said to me, like, I don't know when, 7 years ago, something about, I talked about how mom is always really emotional and it was always really hard for me because I always felt like whenever I would share good news or bad news with her, she would get so emotional on the other end of the phone that I was now...
It shut you down.
It would shut me down because then I'm like, oh, well, now I'm just tending to your emotions. You know, now I'm going, oh, mom, you don't have to cry. And all of a sudden now it's not about me anymore. It's about her. And my therapist pointed out to me one day, I said, I'm not very patient with people who are really emotional because my mom's always been really emotional. And I explained it a little bit. And she was like, that's not her being emotional. That's having an unhealthy relationship to her emotions. And so I explained this thing to my mom. I said, I had this conversation with my therapist and she explained to me that, when I call you and they say, oh my God, they just picked up my show, or, oh my God, I'm still not pregnant. Either one, she would go, oh God, Erin, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, and I always knew this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, it's like it's about her now.
Yeah.
And now I'm tending to like somehow managing her emotions in it, and that I had a lot of resentment about that. Well, we're really lucky that our mom is really evolved and really willing to look at her shit. And the moment I pointed that out to her, a light went on for her, and
she can take a note.
Saw it and she realized it. And she said, Erin, this was the greatest gift that you gave me, just explaining that to me. And I swear to God, she's never fucking done it a single time since.
Are you serious?
She is so aware of it that she knows now. She has really worked on it. The point is that you need to be able to have a conversation with your mom where you help her understand, either you or a therapist, you help her understand that her worrying about you is actually putting so much more pressure on you, that you're going through a tough time in your life where you have stumbled financially. You've had to move back home. You're trying to reevaluate yourself and your life to get back on track. And it is a disservice to you that your mom is putting her extra anxiety and worry on top of you with all that pressure that's already there. And so I think if you can help your mom understand that her fears and anxieties and worries are actually being put on you, and that it's making your situation even harder, it defeats the whole purpose. She's worrying about you because she wants you to thrive, but it's keeping you back.
It sounds like she feels, she's pretty clear about, look, I've hit a financial roadblock. I'm now home with my parents. All is good. I just need to help my mom understand that the way that she is communicating with me and operating around me is not conducive to her and I having a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like she actually
feel worse about her position.
And she shouldn't. Exactly. So we need to help her figure out how
to have a conversation with your mom and tell her,
I'm okay. I understand exactly. I'm in a really rough spot
right
now.
It's not ideal that I'm back home with you guys. But I'm grateful
young
for it.
But and I have all these skill sets and I'm ready to like start my life over. And
you don't need to worry
phase.
About me.
But also you worrying about me makes me feel like you don't have hope. That you
or
don't see the potential. That you don't have faith. That you're so, you know, it always feels very, like I always get really triggered when mom says good girl. I really, really, mom always
says, good girl.
I'll say anything to her like, oh, hey, mom, just finished Pilates. She's a good girl.
Oh, I'm gosh,
like,
oh, she doesn't say that to me.
Please don't say good girl to me. You always say good girl to me.
Wait, that's so weird. She does not say that to me.
Oh, she always says good girl to me.
Oh, weird.
She, like, she can't even help herself. She just says it. And I always say, mom, can you just, I really don't like it when you say good girl to me. It makes me feel like a child who's now, who like I did Pilates as a 39-year-old adult woman and you're like telling me I did a good job, like I'm being a good kid or something. Like I'm an adult and please don't do that. And so sometimes you just really have to point things out to your parents because they don't realize what they're doing is triggering you like that. Okay, Jill, you're gonna be great. Okay, I like this one. Hi, I can't seem to get past the second or third date. How do I know if I'm doing something wrong? How do I break this curse? I want to say that like feedback is a gift. Like I wish that,
but not everybody.
But I don't know if
feedback.
You can say to someone, "Why didn't you go out with me again?"
You really can't.
I don't think you can. This is where I think like dating experts and dating coaches are really helpful.
I also think though that it's really hard to find your person. It is really fucking hard to find your person. And like, I've met guys in my single years that were good looking, had a good job, all the things, all the qualities. Anyone would be lucky to have them. I just didn't vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like a vibe is a vibe. And it's so hard not to take it personally. It is so hard, but like, you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. I mean, I can't explain to you if I told you some of the guys that I met, and by the way, vice versa. Guys, Ryan Gosling wasn't into me. Just wasn't into me. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't a match.
Well, you guys, there was a point where he was into you and you weren't into him, and then you were into him and he wasn't
into you. I don't think he was ever really into me. And a lot of people would say, what's not to like about Sarah when I was young in my 20s? I was smart. I had a lot going for me.
I
could have
told him some things.
I went to the gym. Whatever.
To the gym is not really a quality.
And he just didn't vibe. And he just ghosted me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't listen to this, does he? I can't believe I just like came right out with that. That was crazy.
I was just going to say, I'm really happy you're willing to admit this all these years later.
I know, but like, I'm just...
Should we tell the story about going downtown and trying to follow him?
No, we're not going to go... We're going to just leave.
Should we tell the story about how you heard he lived downtown and we drove downtown and we waited for him to...
Okay,
Sarah learned that he lived downtown. This is like 15 years ago.
I'm going back on Instagram.
And we drove downtown and we had this plan. And she was going to text him and say, hey, oh my God, I'm randomly downtown right now. And we went downtown and we texted them that. And then we waited for a response and we stayed downtown for like 3 hours waiting to see if he would respond. So we could be like, oh, still here randomly. Let's see each other. And we ate at some disgusting cafe because we didn't know where to eat down there. And we waited. He did not text back. We went all the way back to West Hollywood, went to the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf parking lot to get my car.
This is an insane
And
story.
Then as soon as we got back to the parking lot, he texted. He goes, oh, hey, I just woke up from a nap. And we knew it was like a bullshit text. He just had waited as long as he could possibly wait to have to respond to her because he was dissing her. And it was right when we got back to West Hollywood. It was like he knew. He waited till we got back.
But he was into me in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Should we tell the Ryan story?
Nope. We're also not going to tell that.
Okay, so we should tell
it. No, let's just... Aaron, seriously, stop. Okay? Just stop. I want it. Let's finish answering this girl's question.
Can I please tell the Indian food story? Please, can I tell the Indian food story?
I think you actually told it. You've told it somewhere.
I don't think I've told this story.
Let's just get back first.
Okay, can I just quickly tell it?
Let's first get back to helping the girl.
Ryan Gosling.
Okay, you're just going to...
Ryan Gosling owned an Indian restaurant called Tajine. I'll never forget it.
You're a fucking...
Tajine. Tajine is a very, very small restaurant, okay? I don't know if it still
exists.
It's
four tables.
It's like four tables. I don't know if it still exists, but he owned it. So while Sarah and him were having maybe a back and forth, maybe a one-sided just fourth from Sarah's end...
It really wasn't. It was more like,
we decided to go to dinner there on the off chance that we would run into him, okay?
Well, because he was ghosting me.
I understand, but this is like...
But I wasn't... we have to hold on. I wasn't a stalker.
Okay.
Okay. I was on a stalker. We did go on a date. Okay. Well, it wasn't really a date.
Okay.
So this, this is a long time
exactly
ago.
Exactly the opposite of what we tell girls to do. When a guy is ghosting you, you do not show up at the restaurant that he owns.
By the way, I remember showing my friends the trailer to The Notebook, being like, this was before people were like into him, and me people showing maybe like he had sent me the trailer. I don't know how and I was like, you guys, I feel like he's like this like really might be a good movie. He's really cute. This is pre-Notebook.
You really have an eye for talent.
I was about to say, I'm like a casting director.
Well, already been cast in the
right,
Notebook.
Eye for talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we go to this restaurant, Tajine.
By the way, you know I'm going to cut all this.
Not going to cut because you make me keep shit from my life.
No, we don't dig through your little fucking treasure box of dark shit.
Yes, we do.
No, we, okay, well, should we, well, okay.
So.
Okay, so you're going to just keep going.
Yes.
Okay.
So we go to Tajine. I think we made a reservation and we go there to have dinner on like a Friday night because we're hoping we're going to run into him. This is the shit that the girls do in their 20s when they have not thought a plan through.
Okay? I was very early 20. I was like 21.
Exactly. You had not thought the plan through. So you're literally like, what are we going to do when we see the guy that's been ghosting us and all of a sudden he's going to see me at my own restaurant? All of a sudden he'll be like, oh, I should have called her back. Look how great she looks at my restaurant. She followed me here. Like, that's never going to work. Mm-mm. We go to this restaurant. It is me, Sarah, Jordan, and Jordan's boyfriend. Okay. We go and we sit down at a table. We're ordering food, patiently awaiting to see if we see Ryan. Okay. Ryan walks in the door. He's with Selma Hayek.
Yep.
Okay. Because he was dating her at the time. That's why he was ghosting Sarah.
Didn't know.
Okay. Didn't know why she was getting ghosted. She was getting ghosted for Selma Hayek. Honestly, great reason to get ghosted.
If I'm going to get ghosted, I fully get it.
I should be getting ghosted by her.
Absolutely.
They walk in like two little lovebirds, okay? All over each other, not paying attention to sad Sarah. Okay.
Well, he didn't see me.
He sits down at another table, not acknowledging Sarah whatsoever.
He didn't see me.
Okay. And one of us at the table said, or Sarah goes, guys, will you just start laughing? Start saying like I said something.
Right,
because
really
you
funny. Guys are like, he's here.
And Sarah didn't know what to do. So she was like, let's just start laughing, okay? So so Jordan's boyfriend like says something like, okay, just start laughing. And Sarah goes, Ryan. Because Jordan's boyfriend's name was Ryan.
Yeah, it was really fucking brutal. It was really brutal.
We didn't realize at the time that he had the same name as Ryan Gosling. It just didn't connect for us. It didn't connect. And she laughed.
Like when I asked Nikki to do a drive-by someone's house in a Prius, but I also owned a black Prius, the same as hers.
Yeah. So Sarah literally laughed and screamed the name Ryan.
Screamed Ryan as loud as I could.
To try to seem like she's laughing at a funny story that Ryan told, but we didn't realize it's the same name. So then Ryan Gosling at the other table looks up and sees Sarah. And
in his four-tabled restaurant after I had been texting him for days being like, what happened to us?
And I'm pretty sure he didn't come over to the table.
He did not.
No.
No, he did not.
Saw Sarah, saw her scream his name.
Hold on, but I have to also, let me just say, there was never a hookup. We never kissed. We never anything. So it wasn't like, that is a little different. Like, it's not like we slept together and then he was just, we were just chatting.
Mm-hmm. You're flirting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God, that was a fun, fun night.
That was horrible.
Just imagine, please, our listeners, imagine the spiral that
comes after
you've gone to the restaurant of Ryan Gosling because he's ghosting you. You drove downtown on the off chance he would text you back. And then in an attempt to seem like you are free, fancy free and living life, you hysterically laughed at a table and said his name out loud.
Mm-hmm. To then have him notice you.
Just imagine the spiral.
The goal was to not be noticed at that point.
No, the goal was for you to seem like you were just kind of like having a fun time laughing and not noticing him.
Mm-hmm.
But you said his name out loud.
Yeah. And then I don't think we ever spoke since.
Oh, man.
Maybe we saw each other once. Maybe we saw each other like... I actually think we did see each other again. And he was like lovely. He's a lovely guy.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
What a night. Also, it makes me think that in my memory, you never gave me the time of day or were talking to me at this point in life. But clearly we hung out a little bit because I was there with you.
Well, I probably needed someone to go to Tangine with me.
Yes.
To be like a wingman.
So I was really the person you would take to the missions that nobody else, you didn't want anyone else to go to.
Yeah. The ones that I was too embarrassed about.
Mm-hmm. In conclusion, first of all, this really is the Hollywood
episode. In conclusion, you're not for everyone. No one's for everyone. And I think going on a few dates where there's no follow-up is like, it's okay.
I think it's okay. I think that the only
and
thing
oh, I have one other thing to say. And this could be, I could be off because it's been a long time since I've dated.
You also never even
but
really
I do
did date.
Think the dating landscape has changed. I think.
How so?
Okay. So I think that when like I was dating.
You never dated.
Continue. If there was no follow-up, it was like, well, he's not attracted to me. But those rules don't apply anymore because the days of just like.
Well, I think you've
been no, just because like the days of like, well, I just want to like sleep with her. Those days are kind of over. You kind of like can't really do that anymore. You kind of, the standards are higher. So like, I think if there's no follow-up, it's maybe the guy just being like, there wasn't a connection. Like she's still hot. And like, I still like, I'm attracted to her, but like, you can't do that anymore.
I think this is saying a lot more about you than it is about her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That you're, well, my you're, insecurities were always like, oh, I'm ugly. Mm-hmm. I'm not attractive. So he's not into me because I'm not those things.
Because mm-hmm. for you.
But I think a lot of women feel like that. If there's no follow up, they're like, is it me? Did I have bad breath? Did he not like, did he find me not attractive? I had like that zit. Was he, you know, I don't know. Like that's normal. Like that's what girls do when guys don't call you back. You just assume I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. My body isn't good enough. So I'm just saying, I do think maybe 10 years ago, it was a little bit like, okay, the guy wasn't attracted to you. But I think now that is different. Mm. Am I wrong?
Well, it's not that you're wrong. I think that just for you, it's like a one-layered thing because you're hyper-focused on attractiveness and your lack thereof, which doesn't exist, but it exists in your head.
Aaron, I'm not alone. When a girl goes out with a guy and he doesn't call her, you automatically go to that place of like, oh, like he didn't find me attractive.
Know. No, I would think more broadly. I would think like, maybe I would think, I hope he thinks I'm pretty enough, but I would also think maybe I wasn't funny or I said that dumb thing or I didn't know that book that he mentioned or I didn't get his joke or I said a word wrong. Or I would think kind of more like, maybe I just suck. And the problem is that we think that we did something wrong, but the
I definitely didn't think I was pretty enough for Ryan.
Okay, well, you were pretty enough for him.
I don't think I was.
See, that's so funny that that's what you think. What if he thought you were just vapid?
What if he thought you were just a fucking idiot?
Like, if I look at Ryan, I just think he's a deep, complex person. He was very indie at the time. He probably just thought you were too basic for him. Pretty, for sure, but basic.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't factor that in.
No, I think it was your inner self, not your outer self.
You know what else I went through a lot? I always thought guys weren't into me because I was so flat. No, I'm serious. No, I'm dead serious. I had
well, that's a thing.
I had a good 10 years from age like 14 to 25 of like, mm-hmm. oh, because I'm flat. It never occurred to me to get a boob job. Never, mm-hmm. never.
I mean, that's not.
But I was always like, oh,
but that's not a wrong assessment. I mean, there are some people that are really into boobs, and you didn't have boobs.
Yeah, but I always felt like. But isn't that interesting? How it never occurred to me ever
that you just
like,
had
I didn't
a bad
do
personality
my boobs until I was in my 30s because I had breastfed for so many fucking years. But like, it never occurred to me like, oh, I'll just get a boob job. Like,
or that maybe they just didn't like you because like you had a bad personality.
All right, let's wrap it up.
I'm just saying it's just really funny to me that you never.
No,
never
I never went
to
there.
You,
no,
that you
I
were
never.
Like, maybe I just gossiped the whole time and like talked shit about other girls and was really vapid and like talked about Us Weekly. Like, it never occurred to you that maybe you just didn't stimulate his mind.
Never.
Like Ryan Gosling needs more than
we're
what you were
talking about.
We're
not talking about him anymore.
Ryan needed more from you.
No, I'm just,
you
I'm just retracing.
It. He probably was like wanting to talk about like Nietzsche, and you were like,
what's Nietzsche?
Okay, that's the problem. This is why Ryan never called you back.
No, but what is Nietzsche? I don't know what that is.
Okay, well, you know what? You have a lot of time to look it up.
Someone tell
podcast.
Me, what is it? Okay, so no one knows. What's Nietzsche? I don't know what it is. You mean niche?
Oh, it is
okay,
it?
So Aaron's just as fucking dumb as I am, apparently. Nietzsche, is it niche?
I think it is Nietzsche.
Okay. This is great. Well, don't cut any of this out, Allison.
Look up the where you know on Google where it
Aaron.
Says a word out loud.
Lulz.
What is it?
Oh,
okay. I don't think
okay.
that's fair. Nobody knows it's Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
No
okay.
one knows. It's, Allison, did you know it's Nietzsche? Oh,
these moments.
Okay, thank you. So
there's
so,
nothing better than when you're trying to like
of all the dumbness in the room.
In
I'm at the top of the dumbness.
Okay. I think this was good. Let's end it here. Let's end it on that embarrassing moment for you.
No, I don't feel embarrassed at all.
Well, you should.
No, because I would say that most people would say Nietzsche.
Just take the loss. Take the loss. Say goodbye to the listeners.
I see how you're trying to turn this on me because of your whole Ryan rejection.
Okay.
Okay. I see how you're trying to do that, but that is not how I feel.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Okay.
However, whatever will help you sleep tonight better, that's fine.
Hold on.
But in your moment of trying to make me feel stupid and belittle me and explain why Ryan wasn't into me, you fucked yourself. You're FaceTiming Simon right now?
No, I'm trying to just get an outsider's perspective on how
I'm going
to
say goodbye to our listeners.
Hold on. Sai.
Yeah, babe.
Hold on. I'm sending you a word, and I want you to say it out loud to tell me how you would pronounce it.
Let's dive in next week to Erin just not being able to take the loss. She can never just go, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm wrong, you're right.
Text you a word, will you say it out loud?
Well, give context. It's a writer. It's apparently a famous writer that we're all supposed to know, according to your wife, the philosopher, Erin Foster. Oh, and he's German.
Say it again.
Nietzsche.
Thank you. That's exactly how I thought you said it.
Have you ever heard of him, though?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Whatever. You guys are fucking your beer goggles and bullshit for each other. Call someone else. Call someone else. Call a neutral party. We got to go.
Sarah didn't know who Nietzsche was, and then I was shaming her, saying that, like, we were talking about how Ryan Gosling rejected her, and she thought it was because she wasn't pretty enough, and I said, it's probably because you weren't, like, talking about Nietzsche and shit. And she said, who is that? And then Montana corrected me that you actually pronounce it Nietzsche.
Oh, you do? I didn't, honestly, I pronounce it Nietzsche.
All right. Yeah. Tune in next week when Erin, you know, rattles off anything that Nietzsche has ever written. Okay. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to be in trouble with Sarah. I'm with Sarah on this.
What? Love you, Sai.
She has beer goggles. Like, I just pronounced it. What did I do?
Yeah, how does he have beer goggles? He's just saying a word out loud.
Erin.
Wait, do you guys do it on the podcast or no?
Yeah, you're on the podcast right now.
No, I'm saying, did you do, am I?
Yeah.
So I did it wrong on the podcast?
Yeah, yes. Idiot. You're both an idiot married an idiot. Look at that.
Just two idiots?
Just a bunch of idiots cohabitating together. You fucking idiots. You guys can't pronounce Nietzsche? It's unbelievable. All right.
You've never even heard of him.
Shut up, Simon. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
If you like this podcast, leave a rating and review.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Can you not use that voice?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to sound...
Yeah, but you don't need to make it sexy.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Do you have a normal voice?
Yeah. Erin Foster, Sarah Foster, and Allison Bresnick.
Okay, I'll take over. Our associate producer is Montana McBurney. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch. This show is hosted by Simplecast.
See, that didn't sound nice.
That sounded great.